to ask him, Dan, I really appreciated Dan's session on prayer. I love to pray, and I'm so thankful that we have the privilege to come before God's throne and make our requests known. I want to add just one little thing. Beware of what you pray for. I have to tell you, every year I pray something like this. Lord, you know, make me thin, or, you know. Then I thought that was a little vain, so I changed it to help me to be healthy, because I thought, then I'd be thin. And so this year, we don't make New Year's resolutions, but we have these goals. So New Year's Day, I started praying, Lord, help me to be healthy this year. I really want to be healthy. And I think God has a sense of humor, because about 5 days later, I got a gallstone attack for about a week. And guess what? I have to eat very healthy now. And so no Diet Coke, no desserts, no ice cream. That's why I didn't have ice cream last night. They served ice cream, my favorite thing. And so God's saying, well, you didn't do it on your own. You prayed, you asked me. You know, we always want this magical thing to happen. We pray about it, and then we just want the Lord to do it with no effort on our part. So God helped me. And so now I am becoming those healthy people that you don't like to talk to. But I'm very thankful. I told the Lord, I'm in everything give thanks, and I'm very thankful for that, because it has helped me to change. My children, who still live at home, my son, well, my children all come over for dinner, though they don't live there. But they're like, when are you going to get off this diet? And I said, it's not a diet. This is it. This is how it's going to be when you come over. So now they bring their own junk food when they come. So be careful of what you pray for. I prayed for a piano when my daughter was about 8 years old. I said, Lord, I want a piano. And my husband said, well, you know, we have about $200. If you can find a piano for $200. And I found 100 pianos for $500. But my husband said, 200. And I started praying, Lord, give us a piano, give us a piano, give us a piano for $200. And so one day I was in the thrift store, and the ugliest piano you ever saw, it was green. Have you ever seen a green piano? I don't know. Probably came from Las Vegas and one of those places we don't go to. But I asked how much it was, and it was $200. So I figured it was my piano because it was $200. But I knew that being at a thrift store, that there was a possibility it didn't play. And I don't know how to play the piano. I called the church, and I asked our secretary at the time was our church pianist. And I said, Sherry, do you think you can come over and look and see if this piano is worth $200? And she says, hey, better than that, our piano tuner is at the church. I'll send him over. So he came over and said, yeah, this is a great piano. It's a little ugly, but, you know, it's a good piano. So we got the piano, went home and stripped it. And underneath the green was black. Underneath the black paint was white paint. And underneath that was the most beautiful, I think it's mahogany. I don't know my woods real well. And so we stripped it down, and we still have that piano today. So, but the purpose of that prayer, though, is I forgot to pray for the piano bench. You got to be specific when you pray. So I told that to the lady, and she said, you know what? I was praying for a table. She said, I better start praying for the chairs, too. So my life verse. I told you a little bit about me last night. Let me tell you my life verse. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I come from Kansas City, Missouri. You know what the motto is for Missouri? The show me state. So isn't that verse just for me? Show me great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And you know what? I pray that verse every day because I want God to show me all the great things that he has in store for me. Now, I have to apologize because I did forget about Hope last night. But it wasn't because she's in college. It's just because I'm getting older and more forgetful. And today I was reminded of this story about three men taking a walk on a very windy day. I wonder why I thought about that today. People said Lancaster's windy. Yeah, right. So here these three men are taking a walk, and the first man said, it's a little windy. And the second man said, nah, it's Thursday. And the third man said, yeah, let's go get some lemonade. So I don't know, when you get old, you get forgetful. I don't know why I like that story, but because I'm getting old, forgetful. Or I just thought it reminded me of the wind. Did you hear about the lady that was 65 years old and gave birth to a baby? And her friend came to see her when she got home from the hospital and said, well, can I see the little baby? She said, oh, you can see him in a minute. And so they sat down, had some tea, and the friend said, well, I'd like to see the baby now. And she goes, well, we'll see the baby in just a minute. So the friend started getting a little nervous, thinking, you know, why can't I see this baby? And she finally said, how come you're not letting me see the baby? She says, well, she said, we had to wait for him to cry because I can't remember where I put him. So if you have a baby at 65, you'll be a little forgetful. One couple was attending a marriage or a couples retreat, a seminar. And the preacher got up and he started saying, you know, that communication is so important. You need to know your mate. And he just threw out, he said, you know, you just got to know even what kind of flower your wife likes. And one man sitting in the pew, kind of proud of himself, nudged his wife, leaned over a little closer and said, Pillsbury, right? The rest of the story is not pleasant, but sometimes, you know, we don't always know the point. And tonight we're going to talk about the point of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a lot of times we are misunderstood. I'm not talking tonight about when we talk about you and the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about praying to speak in tongues, that kind of Holy Spirit. We all know that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and that's when we get it. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. But before we get into it, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for every lady here in attendance, for their openness and their soft hearts and their eagerness to hear from Scripture. Thank you for the message we just heard on prayer. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors. What an opportunity. No one can take away. They can take prayer out of the school, but they say they do, but they can't. We still can pray. I often think of all the things that people can take away from us, privileges and rights. They can never take away prayer. That is something that we can do all the time. Help us to be prayer warriors. Help us not to be slack in that area. And Father, now as we look and see how we need the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Help us, like my husband talked about this morning, to be in the form of Christ. Let us be Christ-like, like you. And then, Lord, I just pray that you'll help me to remember everything that you want me to say. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to forget those things that need not to be said. Lord, I just pray that when we leave this place, that we'll be closer and more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at two little portions of Scripture. We're going to turn to Galatians 5. And while you're turning there, let me ask you, what's your greatest need? You don't have to say it out loud, but think, what is your greatest need? Some of them in here might be thinking, oh, we need money for our house payment. We need a house. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's for a friend. We all have these, and something came to your mind. But something I'm talking to you about tonight is a need that we all have. It's the greatest need that a Christian has. And the need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I get to talk to a lot of ladies that come through our church for counseling. And I often go home and tell my husband, the victorious Christian life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, honey, if the people that I talk to almost every time in counseling, if they would just be filled with the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be sitting in my office wanting to get counsel. It is that needed in our lives. We need to have the Holy Spirit. You know, we live in a big galaxy, the Milky Way. Now, I'm not a science teacher, and I might have the numbers off just a little bit, but not by much. Think about, you know, we think we are so great because we are man. You know, we have intelligence, we can speak, you know, the poor cats and ants and everything else, they're below us, and we are so great. You know, we have learned how to split the atom, we can fly to the moon, we can do all these things, and we kind of just pat ourselves on the back because we're so great. But you know what? We are so little. You know, think of it in comparison to us and to Las Vegas. Have you ever flown out of Las Vegas? And all of a sudden you're looking down, everything that looks so big when you're driving down in Las Vegas, all the tall buildings, all of a sudden you get up in the sky, doesn't look so big anymore, don't they? Kind of, they all look little. And the higher you go, the littler they look. A lot of times when we fly across the country, I'm always trying to see if I could see a person. Because, you know, when I'm in Lancaster, we have planes fly over, and I wonder if they see me, you know. My hair's not done. I want to run in the house like they could see me, you know. So I'm always looking just to see if maybe, you know, you could see a person. You can't even see us from the sky. And then you think about it, if, you know, in comparison to the galaxy, the Milky Way, and Dr. Getch actually gave a statistic. It said, he said, if you travel from one end of our galaxy to the other end, at the speed of sound, it would take 100,000 years to go from one end to the other. Pretty big, huh? We're pretty little. And then to think that we try to live this Christian life on our own. You know, okay, God, let me try it by myself. We do. Our kids are like this, and we're just like our kids. You know, they want to learn how to ride their bike. I can do it. I can do it. I remember trying to teach my kids to tie their shoes. And one child, not all of them did this, but one child had this attitude, I can do it myself. And she would never let me help her. And she wasn't doing it right. But every time I'd say, honey, I can do it. I can do it. And I thought, she can't do it. Her little brain thought she could do it, and she couldn't do it. And finally, you know, after many months, she finally submitted and said, okay, show me, you know. She didn't say that, but she finally let us help her to tie her shoes. And sometimes in our Christian life, that's what we do to the Lord. I can do it, I can do it. And maybe if we get in a tight spot, we might ask the Lord, can you help me out of it? You know, that's our attitude. But tonight I want to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit on purpose. Not because we're in some jam, or because we want a bigger house, or because of anything other than we want to be like Christ. So in your Bibles, in Galatians 5, we're going to look at verse 6. We're going to look at a few verses here, and then we're going to turn to Ephesians. It says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then verse 25, it says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Now turn over a few pages to Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Somebody said this, to attempt the work of God with only the ability of man or just yourself is foolish. Your greatest need as a child of God is to have the fullness of the Spirit of God. If your approach in accomplishing God's plan for your life is to do so under your own power, you of all men will be most disappointed. And so I want to have a victorious Christian life. And to get that, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see there in verse 18, it is a command. God commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's not a hint or a suggestion or an idea or proposition. It is a command. In Galatians 5:16, we read, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so here, do you know why it is a command? Because if we just did that automatically on our own, God wouldn't need to command it of us. But because there is a chance that we're going to be walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit, God tells us, walk in the flesh. And because there's a chance that we're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So God is a command. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are to please God, we must be filled. Don't settle for anything else. I want to please the Lord in my life. You know, no matter how long we live, it's not going to be long in comparison to eternity. But during that short time God has me here on earth, I want to please him. When I see the Lord one day, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to say, well, I was going to, or I tried to, or I thought about it. But I want to be filled with the Spirit. And then look at this command, and we're going to see letter A is that it's positive. There's a do and don't in this command. We're going to look at the do first. It is a positive command in the area that it's for everyone. I'm so glad that whether we're young or old, or the pastor, or a Sunday school teacher, well, we can't be pastors, but we could be the Sunday school teachers, or we can, you know, work in the nursery, or whether we're sitting in the pews, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's for all of us, whether you have money or don't have money, if you're educated or not educated. God didn't put any stipulation there on that. He said it's for everyone, that we have the ability to be filled. And so everyone can be filled. That's a positive. And the other positive is that God will provide the necessary means for fulfilling that command. I'm so glad God doesn't just frustrate us by giving us a command that we can't keep. You know, he just doesn't say, honestly, what could I command them to do that they could not possibly do? God doesn't sit up in heaven and do that. If he says, I want you to do this, he's going to enable you to do this. So if God says, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? We can be. It's attainable for us. It's not going to be something that we can't do. We can't say, oh, I can't. God doesn't do that to us. God will make it happen. So it is possible. Philippians 4:13, say the verse with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So God says, we can do it. Now, we can't do it on our own. See, that's what we try. We try to do it on our own. But God says, no, that's not going to work. But through me, you can do it. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we realize that we are weak and that we can't do it on our own, that's when God's going to make us strong and is going to enable us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Letter B, the negative part of this command, is that we shouldn't be controlled by anything else than the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't allow our selfishness, friends, money, acceptance to get in the way of allowing us to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you yesterday, I teach a fourth grade Sunday school class on Sunday mornings. Could you imagine if I went to Sunday school tomorrow drunk? Now, let's pretend you all have a fourth grade girl and you're in my Sunday school class. How would that make you feel? Would that bother you? Shake your heads. Would it bother you if I came and taught your Sunday school girl drunk? Yeah. Would it bother you if I taught your Sunday school girl not in the Spirit? I hope so. A lot of times, if you're a Sunday school teacher, we would never think about, honestly, coming to church drunk and teaching a Sunday school class. But I know there are some teachers that come and teach Sunday school, and they're not filled with the Spirit. They're doing it in their flesh. I have seen, when I was much younger, and I sat in, it was right after I got saved, so I was just a teenager, and I remember helping out in the church I went to. They allowed teenagers to help out in the Sunday school classes. And I remember there was one man that just had an anger problem. And he would come to Sunday school and he would yell at the children. I mean, in an anger. It wasn't being filled with the Spirit. And it seemed like it didn't bother anybody. But coming to church drunk, it would bother us. And we need to see that just as bad as it is to come and teach a Sunday school under the influence or under the control of alcohol, it is wrong for us to come to church not being filled with the Spirit. And we need to be controlled by that. Number two, we saw number one, it's a command. Number two, there's a choice. We need letter A is to desire to be filled. Now, God commands it, and I wish we would all just do it. I told you that before with me being healthy. I just wish I could have prayed, Lord, help me be healthy, and I would have woke up the next morning thin and just loving celery. And that didn't happen. There is a choice in my life. Now, I think I use so many illustrations on dieting because I have spent most of my life doing that. And a lot of times I'd sit there and say, Lord, help me not to eat that candy bar. Help me not to eat that those M&Ms. And I'd pray it and pray it and pray it as I was putting my hand in the bowl, getting out those M&Ms. Lord, help me not to eat it. Help me not to eat it. Help me not to eat it. Oh, Lord, you didn't help me not to eat it. You know? But the desire was more to have that candy than it was for me to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life. And so we need to have a strong desire, a stronger desire to be filled with the Spirit than for anything else in our life. In Psalm 63:1, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I heard about a story about a man, a young preacher boy, who went up to Watchman Nee and said, I want to know how I can have the power of the Holy Spirit. How can I be filled with the Spirit? And so Watchman Nee took him down to the water, and they got in the water, and unbeknownst to the young preacher, all of a sudden, the preacher just dumped him down under the water, and the young man's thinking, what is he doing? You know, and then all of a sudden, he's wanting to breathe. And the preacher is holding him under the water. And he's thinking, what is he trying to do? Is he trying to kill me? And, you know, he tried to lift his head up. And when he tried to lift his head up, Watchman Nee pushed it down a little bit harder. And all of a sudden, he realized if he didn't get air quickly, he was going to die. And so then all of a sudden, he tried harder. And he started to kick and flail. He wanted that breath. He was going to drown if he didn't get a breath. And when he finally got away from the grip of Watchman Nee, he looked at him and said, what'd you do that for? He said, when you want the power of the Holy Spirit, when you want to be filled as much as you wanted that next breath, then God will give it to you. And ladies, we need to desire more than anything else to have the Holy Spirit. There's a young girl back home, and I'm not saying this in a negative against her or anything, but you know, she wants to be married so bad, her desire, and it's a good, that's what I'm saying, this is not a negative against her, I just don't want it to come across that way. Her desire in life is to be a wife and a mom, and she is such a sweet girl. I mean, guys are stupid sometimes, I don't know why she's not married yet. And I believe one day God is going to give her a husband, but you know what, she desires a husband so bad that, I mean, if there is going to be a male there, she shows up. She doesn't want to miss an opportunity to make sure she, you know. Now, I think, personally, God knows where we live, you know. God can bring her mate to her. I don't think she has to try as hard as she's trying. But you know what? If she thinks there's an opportunity to meet a future mate, she's there. And I thought, you know, if we would have that same desire, everything I think she does in life is in the hopes that this is the day that I'm going to get my husband. And I thought, you know, if I would live my life, if this is, right now, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure I'm there where He is. And I want to be submitted. And I'm going to do everything that God wants me to do so I'll be in the right place at the right time so I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. So many Christians are just content with having the indwelling. Okay, I'm saved. I know I have the Holy Spirit. But we're not letting the Holy Spirit control us. And letter B under that, not only do we have to have the desire, but we need to be surrendered. Now, I learned about this constantly because, you know, all of us women, we struggle with this area of surrender. Now, some more than others. And pretty much I'm a happy-go-lucky person and it's easy for me to submit until I want my way. And then all of a sudden, I don't want to submit anymore. Well, but right after we were married, my husband wanted me to have a puppy. So we got married at the end of December, and Valentine's Day, I came home from work. We were both still in Bible college. I got home from work, and my husband didn't get home till way late. And so I came home, and I heard something in our apartment, and I thought, oh, somebody's in my apartment. You know, what do I do? So I opened the door, like, as if it really was somebody in my apartment. You know, I was going to do anything. But I opened it up, and this little puppy, this big, with a bow on it, came to greet me. And that was my Valentine's Day present. The next night I got home, and there was a big old note on the door. And I thought, oh, man, my husband is going to give me another gift or something for Valentine's Day. What a great husband I have. I get up there, and I get this envelope that's on the door. I thought it's from my husband. And it wasn't. It was from the manager. And it said, the puppy goes or you go. by tomorrow.
So we had to get rid, we had to take our puppy back. So when we were, so my husband said, well, we'll wait till we're out of Bible college. We go on staff and we move into this apartment and we read the contract and it listed all the pets that we could not have in the apartment. It didn't say just don't have any pets. It was specific. It said you couldn't have fish, you couldn't have a dog, you couldn't have a cat, you couldn't have a hamster. It listed all these things you couldn't have. The one thing it did not list was a bird. So my husband figured since it was not listed, he'd buy me a bird. But I didn't want a bird. Birds, I thought, were messy. And, I mean, they don't come when you call them. And I don't know. I just didn't see too much need for a bird. And so I told my husband, oh, I don't really want a bird. That's okay. And my husband, I said, I don't have time to take care of it. By then, we had a little baby. And I said, you know, I have enough to do to take care of a baby. I don't need to take care of a bird, too. And my husband said, I'll take care of it. Have you heard that before? Yeah. My son tried that too. You know, oh, I want a puppy. I'll promise. I'll feed it. I'll walk it. I'll play with it. But my husband said, honestly, you don't have to do one thing. I'll feed it, take care of it. My husband's thinking, a little bird, you know, what could it do? Sure enough, you know, here he is. He's working and the bird cage was getting dirtier and, you know, he remembered to feed it, but he just didn't do anything else. And so the cage was pretty dirty, and I said, I'm not cleaning it. I wasn't very submissive. I said, he wanted that bird. I told him that bird was going to do all that. I'm not cleaning it. So I didn't. And then I got to thinking, we're going to get, like, the bird flu or something, because this cage was pretty dirty. And so I decided, Lord, that is so wrong of me. You know, my husband's busy. I'm home. I mean, I'm busy too, but I'm home all day, and I'll take care of the bird cage. And so I cleaned out the bird cage and let it fly around the house for a little while. And so I got it all cleaned up, and the bird flew back in the cage, hurried up and shut the door, and wrote my husband a note, told him I was sorry that, you know, that I was being a jerk about not taking care of the bird. And so everything was all good. And the next morning, woke up, guess what? The bird was dead. Now, I did not, my husband first thought I'd try to kill it. I said, I did not. I cleaned up. Just wasn't used to living in a clean environment, I guess. But my first thought was, God took care of it. If I had just taken care of the bird from day one, I would have gotten rid of the bird months ago. And so God taught me, you surrender, because God can take care of everything else. So our job is to surrender. So I want the Holy Spirit. I'm going to surrender and say, Lord, you know, there's one seat here in our control center for my body and one for yours. And there's only going to be one person. There's only one pilot. Is it going to be you or is it going to be God? And so many times I hate to say it, but, you know, it's like, okay, this is a good example. How many of you tell your husband or another person in the car how to drive? Now, I didn't see your hand go up. I was in the car with you today. It was a good illustration. But, and you know what you do? Is you sit there. I don't know about you, but I'll say, I'm not going to say anything. I am not going to say anything. And I don't care if we rear end that person. I'm not going to tell him to step on that brake. And so I'm sitting there all the time. Okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. You know, stop the car, you know. And I just blurt out. And then it scares my husband half out of his mind. And then we about do get in an accident because he thinks I'm dying over there. And I try so hard not to tell my husband what to do. But it just kind of sneaks out sometimes, you know. And I think that's how it is in my life when it comes to the Holy Spirit. God, you can drive. You can tell me what to do. And then all of a sudden my life is, you know, I'm thinking, God, do you see that? And, you know, this and all this is coming in. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of nudging him off the seat and saying, well, I'll drive for a while. And it might not even be when bad things are coming. Everything might be going all really, you know, good and fine. I remember when my kids were learning to drive. If it was on a nice, smooth road, my husband would say, okay, you can drive now. And so sometimes everything's going good, and I think, okay, God, you got me on a straight road. I can take over. Thanks. And all of a sudden, I start living my life in my flesh and not walking in the Spirit. So we need to make sure that we surrender. Martin Luther said, God made the world out of nothing, and it is only when we become nothing that God can make something out of us. God wants us to surrender our life to Him. You know, in God's ways, and I know this, and you know it, ladies, I'm not telling you anything new. You all know this. It's like, you know, you get up here and like Jan said, you know, you're asked to speak on something we all know something about. But you know what? I know there's ladies in here, including me, that need to pray more. So it's not that we're teaching you any new thing from the Bible. It's we know these things. But sometimes we fall back into our flesh and we start doing things on our own. So we need to make sure that we are surrendered. We need to let go and get rid of self. I have a flashlight here, but if you'll notice too when I get to this illustration, it's not the best flashlight in the world, but there are batteries in it. But do you see a light? No. Now the batteries are the Holy Spirit. I told you when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you, we do have batteries in here. This is the most lame flashlight we have. And the batteries aren't dead because my illustration would not, because we can't, the Holy Spirit doesn't die within us. Now, we might push it aside and not use it. But you know what the problem is? See, I have the battery. Oh, there is something in my battery, between my battery. Those on the front row, maybe you can read it. Can you see it? It says self. And sometimes what happens is, it wasn't that we didn't have the batteries in there. Not that we don't have the Holy Spirit. It's that we get in between the Holy Spirit and we start directing our life. Now, the flashlight should work. If I get it tight. Trust me, it would work. I told you, it's a lame flashlight. But the battery will work when we don't have self in the way. And so we need to make sure that we surrender. And it's something that we have to do continually. I wish that I could surrender and then be done with it. Lord, I you know what? I prayed, I got saved, that's dealt with. Okay, now, Lord, you guide my life, you direct it, I'm done with it. Doesn't work that way. It's something we have to do continually. One of the things I don't like doing as a household chore is when I have to get gas in my car. Oh, I hate it. Now, my husband's so good. He puts gas in my car a lot because I really hate doing it. I don't like smelling like gas. I don't like when the wind is blowing. And I'm always afraid. I always have static electricity. So one day I feel like I'm just going to blow up one day at the gas station. So I don't like getting gas. And when I do have to get gas, you would think that I would just fill up, you know. But I don't. You know what I do? I get enough gas to get home to tell my husband I don't have gas on my car. And then he sees our Visa card, you know, our debit card that says gas, $2. Why did you get $2? Well, I just wanted to get enough to get home. And sometimes I think we do that with the Holy Spirit. You know, we do have to keep getting gassed up, so to speak. We have to keep making sure that we are still surrendered and letting God take control. But sometimes, you know what we do? We just want enough to get us over the hump. Just to get me back home. Just to get me through till Sunday. No, let's be totally yielded and ask God to fill us completely with His Holy Spirit. And remember that we have to do it. That's why my flashlight won't work. The part came out. Here's something that we have at our house. And every once in a while, I'll move it around so I can see it more often. And my husband has it in his office. We want to remain yielded and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. It says, Lord, I am willing to receive what you give, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to be what you require. And Lord, if others are to be your messengers to me, I am willing to hear and heed what they have to say. Be yielded. You know, joy is that deep, settled confidence that God is in control of every area of my life. And when I know that God is in control, and I know that God can handle it, and everything is going to be what He wants when I'm surrendered to Him. So we see that we have to have the desire, we have to surrender, and let us see, we'll see the process. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we've heard both of these tonight and the night before. But we need to pray and invite the Lord to take control over our life. Lord, say, hey, I've surrendered. I've gotten off my throne. Somebody has to fill that seat. And I want it to be you. So keep that time in prayer and say, Lord, you know, guard my mouth. Lord, hold back my reaction. So many times we react in a fleshly way. But Lord, help me to be the kind of Christian you want me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we need to know how God would act. If we want to be Christ-like, we have to know what Christ is like. We have to get to know him. And the way we get to know him is through reading the Bible, his word, his letter, love letter to us. I saw this thing, my husband gave it to me, and it said, the cell phone versus the Bible. And I thought it was really good, and I wanted to share it with you. Have you ever wondered what would happen if we treated our Bibles like our cell phone? How many of you have a cell phone? What if we carried it around in our purses or our pockets? My cell phone is in my purse. Do you have a Bible in your purse? What if we flip through it several times a day? Do you ever just... I just sometimes look at it and see if I got a missed call. You know, did anybody call me just now? And I'll look through it throughout the day. Especially my phone now even has email on it, and I learned how to text this year. So now I can text, and I can actually do it within a normal rate of speed instead of... When I first started texting, my kids would keep asking, Mom, are you there? Mom, are you there? I would say, just let me finish my text. And but I would take so long that they thought I didn't get the first text. Well, it just took me so long to figure out, you know, you got to go, you know, you want to do an F, and you got to go D, E, F, G. Oh, got to go back, you know. You missed it, so you have to go all the way over it again. And then I had that T9 where I tried to guess what I wanted to say. Nobody knows what I want to say. I don't even know what I want to say. And my phone is trying to tell me what I want to say. So anyway, I finally now have got texting down a little bit. But I flip through it to see if anybody's wanting to talk to me. You know what? God wants to talk to us all the time if we would just pick up his word and read it. Have you ever had to turn back and get your phone? Have you ever went back to get your Bible? What if we used it to receive messages from the text and see what God has to say for it? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? Teenagers are fun to watch. I mean, they are so quick at that texting. They can do it under the table, and you don't even know that they're doing it. You know, they're just all the time. They can't live without their phone. Sometimes I think, you know, it's that growth on their ear is really a phone. It's not a growth, but it's always there. And so what if we treated our Bibles like that? What if we gave it to the kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled or used it in case of an emergency? This is something to make you go, where is my Bible? Or one more thing, unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because Jesus already paid the bill. Makes you stop and think, where are our priorities? And the best thing of all, there's no dropped calls. God wants to spend time with us, and we need to read his word to find out when a situation comes and we want to be filled with the Spirit, we're going to know how we react because we're going to know how God would react to that situation. So we want to make sure that we are responding to him in obedience. So we have to know his word, and then we have to obey his word. I heard of a story where a little boy was in church sitting next to his mom, and his mom, he kept standing up on the pew, and his mom kept telling him to sit down, and he didn't want to sit down. And his mom said, you sit down. I would get that look and that tone of voice. And finally, the little boy sat down, and he looked at his mom. He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. I've been there with my kids, and I think we're there sometimes with the Lord. Okay, we'll do what we have to do, but we're not obeying with the heart of, Lord, I surrender. I'll do whatever you say because it's right. And we sometimes rebel. So we need to make sure that we're obeying his command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see that there's a command, and then we have a choice. We can either choose to surrender and let the Holy Spirit fill us, or we can choose to keep trying to do things on our own, keep hitting the roadblocks, keep making mistakes, keep walking in the flesh, or we can surrender and be yielded to him in obedience to God's word. And so how do you know if you're filled? You know, I told you at the beginning that the one thing we need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we think, well, how do we know if we are? Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians here, how we can know if we are walking in the Spirit. And you can tell a lot about a person's physical walk, can't you? Have you ever watched somebody walk by and you think, oh, you know, there are times when I'm shopping, I'm not a big shopper, so when I have to go to Walmart, I'm on a mission. I'm not looking around to see who's all there, but that is the best soul-winning opportunity, and church visitation is at Walmart. But I'm on a mission, and you can tell by the way I'm walking. You know, I'm determined, I'm getting my groceries, and I'm getting out of there. And you can tell by my walk. Can you tell with the teenager if they have an attitude? Yeah, they're... Those are the big tough ones. You can tell. You can tell if somebody is happy or sad or depressed or sick. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they walk. And we can tell a lot about our Christian walk or about our spirit by the way we walk. And so we want to make sure that we're walking in the spirit. There was a man, I was at Rite Aid, a little drugstore by my house, and a man in front of me was not in the spirit. I don't even know if he was a Christian, but he was definitely in what some people call his fleshly suit. And so he's standing there, and there was two people ahead of me and then him. And he was just so aggravated with that girl. By the time he got to the register, he was angry. He didn't like, you know, she was just talking, how's your day? You know, she's at work. She didn't care how long it took to check people out, you know, so she's just chit-chatting and friendliest girl you ever saw. But the guy was in a hurry and wanted to get out of there, so he was getting mad at her. So she's asking him how his day is, and he's not responding, you know. He was just grumpy. And finally she was done, and he took out his credit card and he threw it on the counter at her. And she just looked at him, and I guess she's now catching on that this guy is not exactly a happy camper. And she said in her nice, sweet little voice, "Sir, I'm sorry, we don't take that." "What do you mean you don't take that? It's good. You're going to take it." She said, "I can't take it." She's not telling him why. She's being a little ornery now herself because he's being so rude. And the school's back and forth for a while. And he said, "I don't want to see a manager. You can't take it." She said, "It doesn't matter if I call a manager. We're still not going to take it." And he says, "Will you give me the manager?" And she said, "I'm not going to get you the manager. We can't take it." And finally, after this goes on for a few minutes, finally he said, "I want to know why you're not taking it." And she says, "Because we're Rite Aid and we don't take Montgomery Wards." In his anger, he threw out the wrong card. And, you know, everybody could tell that he was not walking in the spirit. Now, I purposely used somebody that was not saved. I was at the grocery store a while back, and this lady was yelling at her son, which just bothers me that we yell at children anyway. And I mean, not just, "Honey, don't do that," or yelling to help them stop. I mean, she was very degrading in what she was saying. And she was going on and on about how awful this child was. And so I wanted to see what kind of child this was that deserved all this yelling. So I'm in my little cart, and I was just going to, now I wasn't going to butt in like some people do, but I just wanted to see because I was nosy. And so I walked around the corner, and I could have died. It was somebody from our church. Oh, it just broke my heart. So I hurried and went because I don't know what to do, you know. But I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's not walking. That's not being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so maybe we're not as bad as that. But you know what? That's how it looks. And you know what? When we're in that time in our flesh, we don't see what others see. Does that make sense? You know, I don't think she realized how bad she looked, or I'm sure she wouldn't have done that. And so we want to make sure that we are allowing the characteristics of the Holy Spirit to show forth in our walk. Letter A, under this characteristics, is going to make a difference in our speech. Verses 19 and 20. The Bible tells us that we need to be thankful that in our speech, giving thanks always. And so we need to make sure that our speech is a little bit different. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's another characteristic. Our speech should have all that fruit. It's not nine different fruits. It's one fruit with those characteristics. So when we're walking in the Spirit, our speech is going to reflect that. It's going to reflect love and joy and peace in our lives. Do you ever just walk up to a group of people and hear them talking? A lot of time, that's not the characteristics that show forth. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. We're murmuring and complaining. We're gossiping. You know, we're worried and we don't have peace. A lot of times now the talk is about what's happening in our news. And it's usually a negative thing. And so our talk should be different when we have the Holy Spirit, and it will be different. We'll be kind when someone talks to us. I witnessed a girl that was, another person was yelling at her, and her spirit was Christ-like, and she didn't get offended. She didn't try to defend herself. She just said, well, thank you for sharing that with me, and really meant it. That's the difference by being filled with the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. In Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And like I said, with what we heard just the hour before about prayer, the things we should be praising the Lord, that's the things that should come out of our mouth. Not bitterness, not hatred, not impatience, not any of those things. But our talk should be different. Our speech should be more like Christ. Letter B, it's going to make a difference in our song. In verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And God wants us to sing. I was listening to a preacher, and he told us this illustration about, and I don't know how to say it, but there's this bird that if it was to stop singing, it would die. And I thought, you know what? God says he wants to hear us sing. I have a CD in my car. And it's so funny because when the CD is on, I can sing every word with it. Then I get that tune in my head and I can't remember the words. And the only part that I remember is God wants to hear you sing. And so I think, okay, that's the part I need to remember. And then I'll just start singing another song. If you also see somebody that's upset in church, they're not singing. They have their arms crossed during the singing time, and they're just staring. And they don't have the joy of the Lord. They're not being filled with the Holy Spirit because we're going to sing. There was an illustration of a bird, another bird illustration. This lady had this bird in her house, and she's going to clean out the cage, and she decided to use the vacuum. And so, mistake number one, you don't use a vacuum when you clean out the bird cage. So, with the bird still in the cage, it was a little parakeet. So, she sucked up the bird because at the same time, the phone rings. She answered the phone, wasn't looking. The bird gets sucked up. So, she heard him turns off, you know, the vacuum before it gets to the motor part and gets the bird out. You know, it's full of, you know, dust and dirt from the vacuum. And so, she takes it under the faucet and gets it wet. You don't do that to a bird either. And so then she realized the bird was shivering, and so she takes out her blow dryer and blasts the bird with her blow dryer. And the bird did not live, but she was quoted as saying that it doesn't sing anymore, it just sits there and stares. And sometimes in our Christian life, we will let all those heartaches and trials and all the bad stuff that can happen to us take our joy away. So that we're not singing anymore. I tell you, if I'm scared, guess what I do? I sing. I have to come home sometimes by myself now, and I cannot sing. So this is, you know, if anybody ever wants to make money, they can video me when I come home. At the top of my lungs, I am singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm singing it because I'm thinking that if there's any devil in my house or any bad person, I'm going to talk about the cross. I'm going to sing about the cross and about the blood so that they'll go away. And so, but I'll sing. When I'm sad, you know what I'll do? Is I'm going to sing a happy song. It's going to take that sadness away. And so one of the characteristics of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we're going to sing. So make sure your speech is different, that your song is different. And then Acts 16:24 says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Even in the bad times, we can sing. Paul could have sat there and just complained, I'm in prison, you know, I'm here, I'm just trying to serve the Lord, and look what happens to me. But he didn't. He sang out. He was being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then letter C, it's going to make a difference in our submission to authority. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I talked about how submission is hard, but you know how it's going to be easy? Is because we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, it's much easier to surrender my will and my preferences when it comes to this area of a husband and wife relationship. And so be filled with the Holy Spirit. Your husband's going to see it in you and how you submit. And then, and not only to your husband, but to authority. And then letter D is going to make a difference in our sensitivity to others, to our children. to our mates, to our children, dealing with others versus, we don't have the time right now, but if we read the rest of chapter 5 and chapter 6, it talks about our relationships with others, with our husband, with our children, and there will be a difference in how we relate to them. We'll speak to them kinder. We'll be more patient with them in our dealings with them if we are filled with the Spirit. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, saying whatever you want is fine with me." It's having that desire to prefer someone else over our own wants. Andrew Murray said this about being filled with the Spirit. It says, "First, I must have this feeling." Filling. I must have this feeling. That's the command that we saw. We must have it. God commanded it. He said, secondly, I may have the feeling. That's filling. That's the privilege, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We get that privilege. Thirdly, he said, I will have the filling. That's the choice. Are we going to choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And then fourth, I shall have the filling. And that's the characteristics. That's going to show forth in our life. Ladies, if we need anything in our life, it's not money, it's not a home, it's not possessions, it's not friends. We need to be filled and controlled by that Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Help us to realize that we can't live a day without your filling. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be surrendered and to choose to be filled. Help us to put aside our selfishness and our controlling habits. And God, we lay those all at your altar. And God, I just pray that you will fill us. Help us to be Christ-like in what we say and what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.